if the payment's not made to what's agreed upon, so let's say the payment's $500 a month, anything less would trigger a late payment, even if you paid it way early. So just be careful is all I can say, honestly.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Multifamily Money Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and today we're talking all things credit. Flashback, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, and I probably wouldn't have known anything about credit. Yeah, I would know what a credit card is and that there's something like some type of limitation on who can get it and what kind of credit limit, but I didn't really know anything beyond that. And flash forward today, and now I know it's super powerful when it comes to anything, essentially anything in the financial world or anything in general. It can prevent you from getting certain things. If you have poor credit, it's going to cost you more to do things like buying a home, buying a car, if you can even get it. Because if you have too poor credit, you're not even able to get those things. It can actually even affect you from getting a job or even getting, if you're trying to rent an apartment, you have poor credit, they're going to go with a person with a higher credit. It's super important to have good credit. And our guest today, Tim Grinier, he has two businesses. One, changeyourcredit.com, where he helps people change and improve their personal credit. And then the second one is Credit Solutions of New England, which he helps business owners build their business credit. And that's the thing that really opened my eyes when we had this conversation, is how powerful business credit is and also how different it is from personal credit and how lenders look at it differently than personal credit. And especially when it comes to the business I'm in, investing in multifamily apartment communities, we go in, you know, we're looking for value at projects where we can come in, reposition the project, provide our investors not only with cash flow, but through that repositioning, we can provide them a solid back end return as well. In order to do that, we have to bring in what we call CapEx. That's capital expenditure investment dollars that we bring in to improve the property. And I'm not going to give anything away here, but he jumps into some details. If you have good business credit, how you can get that at a lower cost. So yeah, let's just get into it. Hey, Tim, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm grateful to have met you and have this great conversation.
The listeners are going to get a lot of information, valuable information from you. So thank you for your time. So let's just get right into it. Tell everyone kind of a little bit about background, where you came from, how you got to where you are today, and what that looks like.
Thank you so much again for the opportunity. Greetings, everyone. My name is Tim Grinier. I own a company called Credit Solutions of New England. I help people quickly overcome credit challenges, and I also help people build business credit so that they're not constantly using their personal credit to fund their business and create a complete separation, which I'm sure I'll get into a little bit more. But again, thank you for allowing me to share my story. Because if you told me years ago I'd be doing this, I'd say, no way, I'll never be a credit repair guy. And the reason why is I actually started off in the finance industry. I went to college, worked at Prudential for several years, and shifted over to the mortgage industry. Started working at GMAC Mortgage in the late 90s. And of course, as you recall, early 2000s, everything was wonderful, pretty, and bright. You know, money was coming in for everybody. Rates were going low. Equity was being built on people's houses with buying homes. And then all of a sudden, 2008, the mortgage industry exploded, basically, and or imploded, I should say, and just kind of crickets. I had basically went back. You know, I was doing great. I had noticed that I had talked to over 1,200 people that I had call me, referred to me, trusted me to help them with buying a home or refinancing. And I noticed that a lot of these people had bruised credit that never called me back. And that was my first, wait a second moment, what am I doing wrong? Because if you talk to somebody one or two times, you know, you kind of get the gist of it and you should immediately make changes. But I was just so busy moving forward to the next client that I never really paid attention. And of course, it's difficult because as being a loan officer, you don't want to pretend you're a credit repair expert or a credit expert, even though you know a little bit about it. You don't want to portray yourself to be in a role of it. And because there was no mortgages going on, I had time and I started looking at more at how I can retain people is really what it was. And I had sent people to a few different credit repair companies and found that it was just a loophole. It took forever. My clients started getting upset with me, and I have a lot of pride in what I do. And bottom line is, the credit repair industry pissed me off so much that I took the time, I had the resources to learn more about credit repair, and created a really unique system where I can quickly, inexpensively help people quickly overcome credit challenges with all transparency. And I can get more into it as we go, and just kind of grew my business that way as a mortgage person. And then what happened was, as I started helping more people, the people that I was helping with fixing their credit and helping them buy a home, they knew other people, but the people they knew trusted their own mortgage person, but they were stuck in that in between. And of course, I was hungry to learn more about credit repair. And bottom line is, I started helping people without helping them with a mortgage and started really helping the community and other loan officers and realtors with growing their business by retaining good people. You know, people with bruised credit are good people. Just because they have a tough time at one moment, they shouldn't be hurt for years. And that's really what one of my motivations is, to help people overcome things quickly. And so created my system. It took me 2 or 3 years, officially started in 2011. I've been doing it ever since. And of course, I was very well known as New England Credit Repair back then. And I've recently shifted my name in the last few years to Credit Solutions of New England. So I still am New England Credit Repair, but I started adding that business credit. And of course, if you were talking to one of your business owners and you're telling them about business credit, and you told him, call Tim at New England Credit Repair, he'd be like, no way, I'm not calling a credit repair guy for business credit. I don't need that. So that's one of the reasons why I shifted my name, because I also want to add more tools in transparency of helping people. Because there used to be a lot of scams in the credit repair industry, and there's a much less now, but a lot of it is mostly companies learning how to stretch out the service, not for months, for years. And I'll be able to explain a little bit more about that. But that's basically a little bit of me in a nutshell of, like I said, if I was told I'd be doing this today, I'd be no way. But here I am, and I'm loving it. And I really enjoy helping people with overcoming their struggles and helping protect people and protect their personal life from their business in the event anything should change. Or on the other hand, I also give the opportunity for people to build their business in such a way where there is no ceiling, there is no cap, there's no bank telling the business owner that, unfortunately, we can't help you buy another truck because you're overextended. And that's a lot what business credit does. So thank you. And please ask me your questions.
That's great, Tim. And that just shows you were in the mortgage industry. You saw where some of your clients were having problems, and instead of feeling sorry for them and then moving on and continuing your job, your career, you said, no, I can help these people. I can provide a solution. And to anyone out there listening that is trying to create their own business, their own niche, their own career, that's what you need to do. You need to find where there's problems, where there's not good solutions, and you need to become that solution. So I commend you for that, Tim. But yeah, let's get into some more finite details of the industry. Obviously, most people know what credit is, at least hope so. I feel like a lot of people don't know why it's so important. So if you could just give a few reasons, examples, why it's important to have good credit score as an individual, and later we can get into why as a business.
Absolutely. And that's a great question. You know, whenever you hear the FICO credit score, you know, nowadays we know what it is. But if you don't mind, turn back the clock 15, 20 years ago. We didn't know any of this. And we never really realized how deep credit goes. There's some good people out there renting homes, and they're turned down simply because they had a change in their job or something came up and they have bruised credit and they can't live where they really want to live. Buying vehicles. There are times when people are stuck in a position where they have to invest $5,000 in their transmission or engine. And sometimes it's cheaper to buy a new car, but then they get stuck with the buy here, pay here type system where they have to put $3,000 down. They get stuck with an interest rate of 18, 19, 20%. Credit also involves your job. There's a lot of great jobs out there require a background check. And there are people who are overqualified or perfectly qualified for a position. But unfortunately, again, their credit stands in their way. And of course, money. There's so much money to be saved by having good credit. I'll never forget, about 8 years ago, I had a client give me a call. And she was looking for credit, you know, help with credit and credit repair. And she had went down to the end of the system and she wanted to sign up. And I told her, listen, it's only $99 a start. And she goes, oh my God, I can't afford that. I'm like, well, listen, if you don't mind, you can't afford not to. And here's why. Here you have your beautiful Ford Explorer back then. Remember, that was like the big thing to have. And I'll never forget. She was paying $400 a month. She had the vehicle for 1 year. And I noticed that she had put $3,000 down and she had financed, I believe it was $15,700. And when I looked on the credit report, she owed $15,500. She had, over the course of 12 months, paid $4,800, 400 times 12, and only paid down her balance $200. And I said, you know, you're paying basically $350 a month or more towards interest. You can't afford not to help yourself, because once you fix your credit, in a few months from now, you'll be able to refinance your vehicle, or you could trade it in. You've got equity and you can turn around and buy a new one for much less money. So credit is everything nowadays. And now, of course, credit is part of credibility. And just because someone's number is a little bit lower does not make them a bad person. We can change that around for people. And that's why I have changeyourcredit.com. Change your credit, change your life. Because it's all about credibility and credit.
Yep, that's so true. Essentially, it's poor credit makes life tougher in every aspect. It's going to cost you more to do things. It's going to prevent you from doing things. And then, like you said, it can even prevent you from getting the job you want. So it's something that everyone should definitely focus on. Don't think, oh, it'll just figure itself out. No, you got to take steps now. So Tim, if you could just give listeners maybe just two things they could do right now just to help build their credit, that would be great.
Absolutely. It's a great question. So of course, you know, when we first all start out, you know, our families tell us, you know, it's important to get credit, but don't get in debt and always pay your bills on time. And I'm actually going to tell you guys, do not pay your bills on time. And most of you automatically assume that I'm going to tell you to pay late. And of course not, but always pay your bills early. For an example, if I borrowed money from you and someone else had borrowed money and they always pay you early and they pay you more than minimum, and I always pay you on time, right on the date or a few days around the date, your stress level for lending money out is going to be higher for me than it would be for someone else. And that can help boost people's credit score. And of course, everyone knows, don't have high credit card balances. Yes, you want to build good credit, but if your credit is currently bruised, just try to keep your balances a little bit lower. Try to bring all your balances less than 50%, closer to the 30% mark. Pay early, pay more to the minimum. And that will help actually boost credit scores. But unfortunately, there are boo-boos from the past that linger and that are kind of the anchors from holding people back. Because in my experience, the credit industry wants people around the low 600 so they can be good enough to borrow money, but be also paying higher interest rates and whatnot. So I help people overcome that to move forward and get a much higher credit score by helping people overcome those challenges in the past. And don't trust all the free credit reports. A lot of the free credit report companies are great to have as a reference today, but they really don't show a lot of your history from 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago that's really impacting your credit that we forget about, because if you don't see it, it doesn't exist, but it always does. Especially when you apply for a mortgage and other type of like background checks, et cetera, et cetera. So
that's great. I'm always learning something new about credit. I remember back several years ago, I paid off my student loan debt. And I thought that was like a great thing. I was super excited. And then I get a notification, I don't know if it was a day or a few days later, about my credit score, because I use something called Mint. Anyone who needs help, not even help budgeting, but just tracking, Mint's a great resource. But anyways, Mint sent me a notification that my credit score dropped. And I was like, what are you talking about? I always pay my bills on full, on time, like never keep a balance above, you know, 10% of my credit. Like, how could it have dropped? And it was because I paid off the loan. And it's because that was the longest duration loan I had at the given time. It dropped a good amount. I think I can remember it was 40, 50 points. Yeah. It came back in pretty quickly, but still it's something I didn't know that was, it's not just if you pay on time, if you keep your balances low, if you never, you know, never miss a payment. It's also things about how much credit you have, the duration of your credit. It's so there's a lot of aspects that you have to keep in mind, and that it just intrigues me to have these conversations with individuals like you, because I'm always learning something.
Well, great job on paying attention. And yes, as a matter of fact, that's one of the things that does happen. As I delete negative information on people's credit report that's old, and I prepare my clients, your credit score is going to drop, but then it's going to skyrocket. You got to believe me. And that's the beautiful thing. But yes, and I just had somebody complain the other day how they were all excited to pay off their car. And I'm like, well, just be prepared. Your credit score is going to drop. No, it's not. My score is going to go up. And sure enough, it did drop. I got the call saying, why did I do that? But it's, again, credit. I was talking to someone who is a financial planner who promotes their clients to have zero credit whatsoever. And it's a good model to not have debt, but you also want to be protected, especially with your bank accounts. If you're constantly using your debit card, and if that debit card gets compromised in any way, that money that was taken out of your account will not be replenished immediately. It will take 2, 3, 4, 6 months sometimes. And having a credit card in between is a good protection, because if it was compromised with a credit card, you call up the credit card company, they'll immediately give you the normal credit line available as they research it and make sure that it was viable, which of course, in most cases it is, but very, very important. So yeah, thanks.
And to me, I use a credit card whenever I can. I feel like using debit card or cash is just like throwing away free money with all these rewards programs. If you're going to spend the money anyways on everyday living, use a credit card because you're going to get points back. And yeah,
and
maybe one, yeah, that too. That's not, but 1 to 3% might not seem like a lot on my $50 purchase, but over time, when you're in life, you're spending thousands of dollars, that does add up. So I encourage anyone, don't be afraid of credit. Obviously, don't take it for granted and do anything foolish, you know, the rules, but it's there to help you and it's powerful. Do you recommend like a certain amount of credit cards individuals have? Is there too many, too few in order to like build
it depends credit? On credit.
I've heard both schools of thought on that.
It's obviously the more you have, the more you got to manage. You know, yeah. A lot of people get store cards, like you said, for points and stuff. I mean, in my personal opinion, in my experience, you know, having 2, 3 cards is enough to maintain, because the whole point is maintain a good credit score. Because in that emergency situation and you're stuck and you need to rent a car, believe it or not, you cannot rent a car if you have bad credit or if you don't have a good credit card, which is amazing. But having good credit is so important, maintaining good credit. And of course, there are formulas we can go over with people, but installment loans and having some credit cards are good. Having an excess, yes, it can hurt you to a point, especially if you're using them all and you have high balances, that will bring your score down. And on top of that, be careful. If one little boo-boo happens on one card, the other cards will pick up on it and they'll actually stop credit card usage, they'll decrease the credit limit. So let's say someone had a $5,000 credit limit, they had a $3,500 balance, and they had a boo-boo on another card, like a late payment. They could reserve the right to reduce the limit down to, let's say, $2,000. And that will hurt someone's credit more than anything. Because if you go from a $5,000 balance down and you only owe $3,600 and they bring you down to, let's say, $2,500, you now owe more than what's available. And therefore, that is a little tattletale box on credit, and that will drop someone's score immensely just by doing those. And you didn't even do anything wrong with that one credit card company. And of course, you're going to have some angst against them. You might even you call them up and have them check your credit, which is going to bring your credit score even further down. So it's all these little traps that we kind of fall into, and they set us up for it, but we're not conscious of it. And that's where I like helping people overcome these challenges.
Yeah. Is it correct? Like so that just reminded me, if you mentioned you might have some angst against that credit card company, and then you might even go and cancel the card. But is it true that that could actually hurt your score if you go ahead and cancel the, because one, you have less credit available, and then two, you have less of a track record as well.
Exactly what you had shared with us. And thank you for sharing about your story with your student loan. You paid it off. You were feeling good and you lost all that history. Even though it's still on the credit report and you might have paid everything perfectly on time and never had a blemish on that one credit card, but because it's closed, you lose the algorithm on the FICO system. Again, we're mostly talking about the FICO system. And again, I caution people about credit scores because there are a lot of credit scores out there that are not FICO driven, that are just their own proprietary number. And there's a lot of good people who think they have bruised credit, and come to find out when they actually have their credit checked through the FICO system, the actual banking system, they find out they have actually really good credit, and they've always assumed they had bad credit. So be careful on both sides.
Yeah, I want to get your advice on this. I was advised by an individual once, a successful individual who had the cash to buy a car, but he'd always finance it. And what he would do, say he got 5 years, 60-month loan, financed it, and then he would pay the first month. So then he had 59 months left. And then what he would do is he would pay off the loan until there was $59 left. And then he would pay a dollar a month until for the remaining 59 months until it was paid off, just so he would have that history for those 5 months. Could have just paid it in cash, but that would help build his credit.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to go against that a little bit, only because we have to be super careful. So just as an example, a mortgage. Let's say a person's mortgage is $1,200 a month with taxes and insurance, and the tax bill goes up because the taxes went up, the insurance went up, and now they owe $1,205 a month, let's just say, and they keep paying the $1,200 a month. That can actually come back and hurt you because you didn't pay what was obligated, okay? And it's all binary coding. It's not like it's a person. And if they're triggered that your payment is not paid, paying more than the minimum is always encouraged, but paying less, you got to be really careful. Because I had a client once who did a great job. He had a loan with Toyota and he was paying more and more and more in the beginning. Then he got a notification saying, hey, you don't have to make a payment for 12 months. You did such a great job. His girlfriend had a baby, so he decided not to pay. And all of a sudden, guess what? 10 months later, he's looking to buy a house. He still doesn't have to make a payment because he had 12 months. But in the meantime, Toyota was hitting him with late payments every single month and he wasn't even aware of it. So I prefer people were to pay more than the minimum amount, because again, when you're paying a dollar versus what's supposed to be there, it's the coding that you have to be careful. I'm glad to know that he got away with it, but there's some systems that don't pick up
on it. Yeah, he does it every time. He still paid the majority of the balance off. It's just $59 left and he pays a dollar per month.
I'd love to know what bank he's using. Okay. Because some of the bigger guys, if the payment's not made to what's agreed upon, so let's say the payment's $500 a month, anything less would trigger a late payment, even if you paid it way early. So just be careful is all I can say, honestly. But great strategy, okay. But he's also paying a lot of the interest as well. And he should probably recast the loan and whatnot. But it's good for his credit. The good thing is he's maintaining his credit score. And that's really the important part.
Yep. All right, well, let's jump into the business side of things. Our previous conversation, this is what really, really intrigued me and kind of opened my eyes to many possibilities, especially when it comes to my business, investing in multifamily apartments. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's just talk like what the difference is between business and personal, and why is it so important to have a good business credit?
Absolutely. So again, getting back to the analogy of FICO, about 15, 20 years ago, we didn't know what a credit score was. And a lot of people have heard about business credit and they think just having their name on a credit card with their business name on it is business credit. Now, it might be, but a lot of times people have to personally guarantee it by putting their social security number. And if it shows up on their personal credit, then we know it's most likely it is business credit. But it's also personally guaranteed, which opens up a whole can of worms. But basically, business credit is credit under your EIN. And under your EIN, as you know, that's under the business. And a lot of local banks, you know, if I were to ask you, where do you go to get money for businesses? And most people would say the local bank. Well, what happens is one of the key questions I would ask of you to ask your banker is ask them, what do you use for a credit scoring system? You know, do you use Equifax, Experian, or TransUnion? And most likely they will say yes. And if that's so, that's a ding, 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 personal credit. That's the FICO system, okay? And again, most bankers aren't even conscious of business credit because, again, we're back to where we were 20 years ago about the FICO system. We had no clue. And business credit is actually much different. The other great question to ask your banker is, what's a good business credit score? And most people will come back and say an 800, a 750, minimum 680, et cetera, et cetera. And as soon as you hear hundreds, you know it's personal credit. You're personally guaranteeing it no matter what you're talking about. So the answers you really want to hear is what business credit bureaus are, which is you've heard of Duns & Bradstreet. That's one. You have Business Equifax, not to be confused with Equifax. Equifax, again, is personal credit. Business Equifax is business credit. Then you have Business Experian. And what these models are, you have the Paydex score, you have the IntelliScore. There's also an underlying banking score that a lot of people are not conscious of that banks don't even really talk about. And that's a lot of the stuff that we help teach our business owners, because a lot of business owners are on that threshold to grow, but it's so hard to hire someone to trust with your money, especially when you don't know what's going on with the finance world, because it's a whole other world. Small business owners, we're great at what we do, but to get involved in the financing of businesses, it takes a little bit extra knowledge to be able to protect yourself and from the downside and also be able to grow. So I hope I kind of explained your question, but I will add a few extra things. So building business credit is much more difficult than personal credit. Personal credit, get a car loan, get a credit card, and pay on time, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, within 6 months, 12 months, you have a credit score. That's easy. Business credit is completely different. There's certain types of loans that you have to be able to have in place where you have a history of paying. And it really is all about payment. It has nothing to do with your credit limits. It's all about payment, but it's payments in different types of loans. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but as you know, I cannot check your credit whatsoever without your permissible permission, where you give me permission to check your credit. Business credit, you can look up.
That's the personal credit, right?
That's personal credit. You cannot, no one can check each other's credit without your permission, unless you're the big banks and they can do like a blast marketing for people who might be pre-approved for a credit card, which I caution people on. But on business credit, it's completely different. You can actually look up Microsoft, Bill Gates, Oprah. You can look up as to how many trade lines. For an example, Walmart, they have hundreds of lines of credit. You can look right online and you'll see. As a matter of fact, Walmart is amazing. Did you know that 80% of the goods inside Walmart is not even paid for? So you're checking out at the Walmart store and 80% of what you're buying, they have not even paid and they made money on you. And it goes back to pay off their business loans. It's a phenomenal model. Imagine if we could do that with your business owners, your contractors, your landscapers, where they can get 80 to 90% of the business contract that they had signed. Let's say that someone signs a contract for $300,000 and your business owner is able to get 80 to 90% of that contract cash up front before you're even able to start the work. That covers your material, covers all your labor, covers most of your risk. And just because I said 80 to 90% doesn't mean it costs 10 to 20%. It's just simply held back to make sure that the vendor or the company pays on time. And if when they do, then all the money gets released back to the business owner. So I apologize. I get so excited talking about this because it just blows my mind as to how many opportunities we can help our local business people grow their business, but be protected, because so many good businesses get taken out by other businesses not paying them in a timely manner. I digress again.
No, that's great, Tim. That's what opened my eyes and got me excited the last time we spoke, is just that, especially for what we do when we acquire these multifamily communities. We're doing a value add project. So we're going to come in, bring CapEx, you know, it could be anywhere from $1 million to $2 million to reposition the property. And that's powerful because usually you're paying equity to bring in that money, which could be anywhere 6, 8, 10%, 12, what have you. Whereas with business credit, you could get 80% of that upfront. And that's just powerful. And I know how we spoke before that if you have good business credit, those interest rates are going to be way below what you'd pay your equity partners. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you said it could be anywhere from like 1% to 3%.
Absolutely. And one thing I failed to mention, this is the most important piece of information. A business credit score ranges from 0 to 100. It's an A, it's a B, it's C, F for failure. It is not is not a 700-800. So 700-800 credit scores is FICO. That's personal credit. Business credit is up to 100. And that's where we help people in less than 6 months get them up to an 80, 90, 95% or 95 point credit score. And we offer a service for up to 12 months to really help people understand and build their business credit. So that opens the door to fleet credit, accounts receivable credit, and getting rates, like you said, of 1, 2%. The best ultimate goal for me is to help business owners get an unsecured line of credit where it's not attached to their house, it's not attached to their business, just unsecured, because they have that much business credibility. And that's what it comes down to, is building credibility. But you have to prove it in a very unique way when it comes time to business credit. And those are the models that we guide people through. We also offer all the different types of financing to fill that void to build the credit. And of course, it's up to the business owner to do everything. We're not going to be here doing things for people without their knowledge, but we're educating them on the importance of what to do and why to do it. And by just simply doing little things, so getting like an Amazon business account is great. BJ's business account is great. It's opening up the trade lines, because it's really about how many trade lines. So you had asked me an important question about the FICO credit system. And I shared with you, you know, having 2-3 credit cards is okay. Having a couple installment loans is good. Having a lot will not be good because it's just too much risk. But when it comes time to business credit, you want to have many trade lines open, but under different types of credit systems. There's vendor credit, there's store credit, there's cash credit, then there's lines of credit. And we really help people blanket all that to understand the importance of it so that they can have a strong business credit score. Because again, back on the FICO system, anybody right now who has good credit can go out and buy a car, no money down, done. Bought a car. Great. No documentation most of the time, unless nowadays they get a little bit more ornery. But if someone has great credit, you can bypass all that because of the automated computerized system that approves people. So let's fast forward to business loans. Most people have to give 2, 3, 4 years of business taxes. They have to give all their bank statements to prove deposits, et cetera, et cetera. Once a person has a great business credit score, they fall into that automated business loan system where they don't really have to provide their financials or their 3 years tax return, especially small business people just starting out. I love working with them because we have a system to help them build business credit, even though they just opened day one right now. And that's the phenomenal part. Imagine being a small business owner, being able to have access to money. And I'm talking money with Dell. You get $20,000 line of credit with Dell or HP for their computers or software company that they're starting out. And again, not personally guaranteed. It's amazing what is out there. And I'm so grateful again for the opportunity to be here and just kind of share, because helping people become more aware will help them become more curious to want to learn more. And that motivates them. And motivation creates an action, and action ends with a result, which is having a successful business and personally protecting yourself.
Amen to that. And I think one of the keys setting this up is to separate the personal from the business, which can entail many things that you don't even think of, like not having your home address as your work address, having your personal cell phone as your work phone. If you just want to jump into that and maybe go a little deeper, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Great question. And thanks for asking. So if someone's going to ask for a business loan, again, going to a local lender, it's a little bit different because they're looking for you to personally guarantee everything. So they don't mind that your business is at home. They don't mind that you use your cell phone, but that's because you're personally guaranteeing. But if you're going to go out and build business credit, you're getting serious about your business and you want your business to be out there. You want people to find you. You want to get more business. And a lot of the national business loans, they don't want your personal information involved. They want the business and they want to make the business grow. So business credibility is kind of what I refer to it as. And that's part of the steps that we help people make sure they have in place. Make sure you have your business.com. Make sure you have your email business.com. So like info@creditsolutionsne.com for me, for my business, et cetera. So that's important. But for some reason, again, getting back to that automated underwriting system for business loans, as soon as you put in your cell phone number as your business, you're denied. Everybody wants to know the secret about underwriting, and I'm giving you the secrets. And it's very simple. It's a matter of being able to have a good team around you to help you. We don't want to change your phone number. We know how valuable your phone number is, just like mine. I've had mine now for over 20 years. I still get calls from it from years ago. But it's about how it's shown in the automated system. So, for example, for me, I have 603-303-0730 as my business cell phone number. If I use that in my business loan application, I would get denied. If I put down csnecorp@gmail.com, I get denied. If I put down info@changeyourcredit.com or info@csnecorp.com, I would get approved because it's part of my business, okay? And using your personal home address is not advised. I mean, first and foremost, why do we have a business in LLCs and EINs? It's to protect ourselves. So why do you want to put yourself out there? You want to try to create separation. And again, it's about business credibility. So if you're going to say your business is viable for business loans, then let's make your business viable in protecting you and creating separation as well. There's obviously a few other things that we go into. We actually help people set up business offices, whether it's virtually or not, to be able to make sure we have that clear separation of personal and business.
That's great. I think those are things most people wouldn't even think of. Don't put your cell phone down. Don't put the wrong email down.
It's and little things.
Home address thing. So,
and then you get denied and you're like, my business is worth so much. I'm doing so great. Everything's awesome. And then the banker calls you up, say, hey, we need your social security number because you don't have enough business credit. And even if the loan officer, or commercial loan officer knows what a business credit score is, normally they don't even know what the numbers are or know what the spreads are. But when you get on a national level, they're going to ask you, what's your business score? And anything under 70 or 80, they're probably just going to, and that's where commercial loans is not regulated. Someone could have an awesome business. For an example, someone could open up a leather store on Hampton Beach and go to the bank, have all the money, and they'll simply say, they have the right to say, no, we don't want to loan on that just because we don't think a leather store will do well at Hampton Beach, for an example.
Wow.
Whereas for personal, you go in and you apply, you have to be given a decision, whether they agree with you or not. So they, whether someone wants to buy a house anywhere, the bank can't say, no, you can't buy that just because we're just not comfortable with you. But commercial, they can come up for any reason.
Wow, that's good to know. Well, thank you, Tim. This has been phenomenal. We kind of already had this conversation. I'm sure the listeners learned a ton. So appreciate your time. Where I know you kind of already gave your phone and email out, but where would you like people to reach out and where can they find you?
Absolutely. So my business phone number, that's the key. Business phone number is 888-332-3888. You can find me at changeyourcredit.com. I've got, again, the personal credit ability to fix people's credit. And I also help people build business credit. And you're welcome to just reach out. A lot of information. I really enjoy helping people become knowledgeable because knowledge is power. And knowing these little things about protecting people, especially if people are setting themselves up to retire, keep in mind, over 15, 20 years ago, you personally guaranteed a lot of your stuff and you still continued it. And if you go to sell your business, you got to pay off all that debt. Just a reminder, a lot of people don't realize that. And once you build business credit, you can separate everything. Like the landscaper I told you about who was selling his business for $1.3 million, come to find out he had to pay off all his leases, which were expensive for all his equipment leases, and turn around, he was going to net less than $400,000. Once we built up his business credit in less than 7 months, he was able to net over $1 million simply because he built business credit, and it was the best gift he gave the new business owner. He gave the business owner a living, breathing credit score that was fantastic for business. So that person can keep growing and growing and growing without getting involved.
That's awesome. And that's something I don't think most people would think of either. I got this business, let's sell it. Oh, I'm going to make this much money. Oh, wait, no, you're not, because it's tied to your person. So you owe all this on the equipment.
It's crazy. And here's one last one for you. So I have a company, a gentleman who owns a septic company who's selling it to his two sons. His two sons are buying it from him. So now they have to have basically three incomes, right? Pay the father off and income for each family. But they only had one truck. So what do? They go out. And of course, it's a new business. They don't have business credit. It's not a new business, but it's new to them. So they couldn't really get business loans for the trucks and stuff because they didn't have 3 years tax returns. So they bought a new truck and then they had to add more equipment to be able to substantiate growth to take care of all families. And then as they started growing, their scores were dropping because there were just too much credit being used, but they were doing well. But they couldn't expand. So they went to their wives and said, wives, can you please help us? We need you to personally guarantee because you have a great credit score. And now the families don't talk. You have two brothers that don't talk to each other because each person has such angst against each other because of their personal credit, getting their wives involved. And the solution simply was business credit. With putting the business credit in, it completely changed everything. So just little things that people are, you know, might not think of that really helps people protect themselves and grow their business in a different way.
Wow. Well, listeners, those of you who have businesses, build your business credit if you haven't already. You don't want to tear your family apart or set yourself back.
I assure you, there's some great systems out there. Like Dun & Bradstreet has a great business credit building system. But the problem is it only does business credit for Dun & Bradstreet. And they're super expensive and it goes on for years and years and years. So for us, we only offer a 12-month system. It's super inexpensive, but we really get you into all the business credit and we set everything up for people as well. So it's really red carpet service and helping people learn more about their credit, learn more about their business and substantiate growth. So, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I apologize. I talk so much, but just so much information to share in such little time.
No, it's been great, Tim, and super valuable to have you on. I know for just me alone, if no one ever listened to this and it was just us, this is wonderful. So thank you so much for your time. Yeah. So do you have any last parting word, if actionable item, if someone had poor credit, what is the first thing to do? Obviously, I would say go seek someone like you, but what's your advice?
Just be careful out there. There's a lot of credit repair companies, for an example, that will tell you they fight three things at a time. Well, if let's say the average person has 10 negative items and there's three different credit bureaus, isn't that potentially 30 negative items? So think that way when you ask questions and choose your company, because if they tell you they fight three at a time, they're really fighting three out of 30. Not three out of 10. They're fighting only one bureau at a time, which sucks people in for years of credit repair. The other key thing I caution people on is make sure you use a high quality credit report, or the credit repair company uses a high quality credit report, because a lot of free credit reports, when you agree to the free terms, you actually agree to waiving your rights to the bureaus having up to 30 days to validate information. Whereas the way I do things is we make sure we fight everything on all three credit bureaus. My service is only up to 8 months. It's month to month. So if I help someone get everything done in 3, 4, 5 months, then we're done. We're good. So anyway, so I apologize to talk more about me, but just want to make sure people protect themselves. Ask the right questions, because you don't want to get sucked into years of credit repair. And that means years of monthly payments. And of course, you're going to give up quickly. Try to make sure you have a personal service with someone. The big companies, you'll never talk to the same person twice. With me, it's always me. It's always, and I know exactly what I say every single time, because I understand the sensitivity to credit. And just because your score might be a little bit lower, it's okay. We can change it. Change your credit, change your life. Changeyourcredit.com.
That's awesome. Well, Tim, thanks for being on. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great one. Bye, everybody.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.